You know, there are all kinds of interesting people who live right around your neighborhood. Like, oh, the publicist, the rights distribution manager.
Would you look at that? It's People in Your Neighborhood on 95BFM. Thanks to APRA MCOS NZ.
Oh, hi there.
Shh, listen.
Today we are lucky to have Anna Lovies, who is a publicist. She's the first in that list of people in your neighbourhood. She runs a company called St. Lachine and also the marketing and publicity for Flying Nun.
Oh, hello, Penny. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming up.
It's so great to be here. I love coming into the studio.
Yes, BFM rules.
BFM does rule.
It's good for people like us that like, you know, a bit of alternative music.
Definitely. Such a good vibe up here always.
Yes. Now, I think what we should start off with is, can you tell us what is publicity and what a publicist does?
Okay, so publicity often gets confused with publishing, which is something we were talking about earlier. I get a few emails a week saying, hey, can you publish my book? Or do you publish music? So a publicist essentially promotes a release or a product, and essentially we get the information out to media and we help plan releases. I'm an independent publicist, so my job is probably more hands-on than a publicist working in-house at a major label, for example. I'll write the one sheets, press releases, all the written material, and then I'll plan out timelines for my clients. So, yeah, it's very hands-on, and essentially, yeah, we your connection to media and maybe influencers now. Our job's changing.
Yeah, so... So on a very basic level, if I released an album and I had no idea what I was doing and I noticed that you were a publicist and I wanted my album to get out there to the world, can you kind of run us through what the process is?
Right. So usually when I sign on to a new project with an artist, the first thing that we'll do is negotiate on a quote and we'll figure out what the project is. So usually for me, I sort of ask what the artist's budget is and what specifically they want me to do. And it's different. I work in a bespoke kind of way with artists. So some of them might want me to just focus on radio plugging, and others might just want written material done, or others might just want me to spend all my time pitching. So we figure out what the client wants, and then from there we plan out a timeline, and then from there we figure out deadlines for assets. So your...
What's an asset?
Assets. So that's your album artwork, your mastered single or album waves, and we also figure out photos, so press photos, they're very important. And we kind of figure out all the deadlines for those delivery dates. And essentially from then on, we're figuring out what your story is. So we'll start pulling all the press assets together. That's your bio. Some bands, when they come to me, already have a bio written up, maybe by a friend that knows them really well. And then I could take that and start crafting a pitch, or just crafting an idea of some angles we can work with. And then we'll start writing a press release for announcement, and then we'll be managing those asset delivery dates while all this is going on. And yeah, the next stage is pitching interviews and giveaways, and that process can last quite a while. I would recommend engaging a publicist, you know, like giving your publicist about a month to 2 months to work up to an announcement, because then you've got time to really talk to media about whatever you're releasing. I have worked with shorter turnaround dates. Yeah, and I can honestly say that, you know, the more time you give a publicist to pitch your work, the better the outcome. And it's mainly because the music market, the music media market, is just getting smaller and smaller by the day, and it's more competitive because, you know, all of the publicists are going for all the same spots. So yeah, we basically work from there. After we've pitched interviews, you know, usually your publicist will pull together like a report, and you know, you can include press quotes and any helpful bits and pieces you got throughout the campaign. And that's really there for you to use in your next project. So, you know, when you update your bio, you can add your quotes or any, you know, chart positions you might get or special features.
So I essentially what you're doing is you're looking after a brand of somebody, really. Like, you're taking that album, say, and going, okay, we think that this song is the best one to release as the first single. When you say radio plugging, that means that you're emailing all the stations you can saying, play this track. Why aren't you playing this track? Please play this track. That sort of thing, right? And then then with the publicity, you're in, the pitching is going to different, like the NZ Herald or BFM or something like that, and going, hey, we've got this great artist and we think that'll suit your media outlet, and can you interview them?
Yes, that's the one. And, yeah, one thing that I am noticing is, you know, the more targeted your approach is as a publicist, the more that you know a band and you know their story and you know kind of the spirit of who they are as an artist, it's easier to pitch them to the right people, and you'll get more results that way if, you know, you narrow down your media target list.
Yeah, I feel that that's a really, really important point. As someone who has, you know, worked in media and has been pitched a lot, if you were pitched something that you know doesn't fit the media you work for, I mean, you know, we can be honest, I used to work for BFM, and if I was pitched something that I thought was more inclined to be on the rock, I would be like, oh, I don't think the people that are pitching me really know the station or the artist and where it fits. Yes. And I'd just be like, oh, you know, I'd listen to like, you know, 30 seconds and read the first line and go, nah. Yeah. You know,
exactly, and I think the reality, especially for radio, is that programmers get spammed with hundreds of emails. I mean, you would have experienced this.
Oh my god, it was crazy. I can, like, when I was here, I would get, you know, maybe 100 emails a day. Jeez. And a lot of those would be new music. And then, you know, when I went to another company, and I was getting like 30 emails a day, I was like, oh, sweet. And they were like, oh, you're getting so many emails. And I'd be like, nah, this is nothing. But it does make a difference if it is targeted, eh? Like, yes, more success rate.
Absolutely. I think taking some time to figure out who you are as an artist makes a lot of sense. And maybe that's through talking to your friends or your, you know, close circle and figuring out what it is that sets you apart and figuring out your story, I guess making yourself compelling, because, you know, I think, yeah, when you do know yourself and you're pitching yourself to the right radio stations, you should really be listening to these stations and, you know, kind of ascertaining, like, okay, I'm too poppy for alternative radio, and I don't necessarily fit at commercial, so maybe I should change my strategy and focus on DSPs, which are, you know, your Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, and maybe focusing your efforts more on, you know, trying to establish contacts with Spotify editors and Apple editors.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because sometimes there's the other thing of people that, you know, when they are marketing an album, if they decide to do it themselves and they do a mass email out and they get the context of the email of like websites or something like that, and they don't check what that website actually covers. Mm-hmm. So you might have an indie guitar song and you send it to a hip hop website and they're just going to write you off straight away.
It's a big mistake, because the thing is, I mean, yeah, it's kind of, I think that's publicity 101. It's like, figure out who or where an artist might sit. It's difficult if you get a track, for example, that could have crossover potential, or the artist has historically, you know, worked with alternative radio and now they sit more with Hodaki and the rock, but they're still wanting me to service to alternative radio. So my job is to kind of be realistic about expectations, so telling, you know, the client, you know, this track may not have legs with alternative anymore, because now it's more, you have more of a commercial presence.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you, because I was thinking that before when you're talking about, you know, coming up with a story or a background for an artist, because you do need to have that point of difference. How do you kind of like manage it when someone thinks that they might be Ziggy Stardust, for example, and yet they're actually more, I don't know, somebody else, like, you know, Billy Ray Cyrus, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So I think your personal brand comes into it a bit. Like I'm quite a frank person.
Yeah.
And I think that people know what they're expecting when they kind of get involved with me, because, yeah, I'll always give them my honest opinion. And, yeah, I think, I mean, generally, when I'm approached with potential projects to work on, the first thing I think is, will we gel together as a team, and do I understand what you're doing? So, you know, if Billy Ray Cyrus was going around saying, I'm Ziggy Stardust, I'm not necessarily a country music buff. I would not feel comfortable pitching his work because I don't have a lot of experience listening to it. I won't know the nuance. But, for example, I'm very much into Flying Nun and very, like, you know, jangly guitar is literally my whole identity.
Yeah.
So I know what to do with music like that, but, you know, I think for me personally, I try not to get in a situation like that. So, you know, he may not be my Ziggy Stardust, but he might be someone else's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you work with a number of different artists. I'm going to read a couple of names out. Aldous Harding, Astaire, Purple Pilgrims, Chai. How do you end up working with people?
So it's a mixture of, you know, I get approached by email or just in person if I'm at a gig or something. And then other times I reach out. So, with those particular artists, most of them are Flying Nun acts, so they actually approached me, and I'm a massive Flying Nun fan anyway. I grew up listening to all the classics.
And you're wearing a Flying Nun t-shirt.
Yes, yes I am.
Represent.
Represent it always. So that I said, of course, I would be honoured to write about your music and pitch it around. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of Mermaidens anyway, so... You know, I kind of went into that thinking, oh, they're gonna get tired of me because I'm a bit of a fangirl, and it's hard to hold that back. But yeah, I think it's a mixture of getting approached, but also if I see a band doing really neat things and if they want help with radio plugging or writing, I'll approach them. But at the same time, I think getting a publicist on board at the right time is just crucial. You need to figure out when that is for you. So again, if I've ever approached a band, I'm kind of looking at, you know, where they are in their career, and perhaps they just need help servicing songs radio to the right contacts, or maybe they just need a really good bio, and if they want that help, it's there. But at the end of the day, it's not always best to get a publicist on board, not until you can fill out a room, I'd say. Not until you're kind of selling out Wine Cellar and Whammy, and maybe you want to add more to your fan base.
Yeah. So it's about getting that band out there and people knowing who.
Yes.
Yeah. And how did you get into music publicity?
I fell into it by accident. So I've always been a massive nerd, and I will always be a music nerd. I came to university, to the University of Auckland, with one goal, and that was to study music and take all of the ethnomusicology papers that I could take. And then I got to the end of my Bachelor of Arts, and I studied a Bachelor of Music, and I did popular music studies. So I just, all of the history papers were just the bomb. And I honestly, if I could
was,
live
was that there, with Graham Reid?
Graham started the year that I left, so I was absolutely gutted about that.
Because we've had him up, and he's amazing.
He's just the best. I credit him with teaching me how to write about music, because I used to write for his Elsewhere website when I was a student. And gosh, I just got to a point where I realised, you know, being a rock journalist is not a career option. I can't buy my groceries, and, you know, but yeah, I wouldn't really want to work with anything else other than music. So I was writing reviews for Rip It Up and New Zealand Musician at the time, and just kind of working. I worked like three random part-time jobs, and an internship came up at the label, which is a PR and publicity firm owned by Lisa Paris. Lucy McCraywick's there, and Holly Afua, who are all excellent. They're so great. So I worked there for 3.5 years, and that's, yeah, I just started as a PR assistant and just kept going, and it got addictive, and you know, like, it's, I stuck with it because it's rewarding when a local band, you know, gets a piece of press that kind of makes them feel special and awesome, and that's kind of why you do it.
Yeah. So is that, what is that your favorite part?
Yeah.
You think? Yeah.
Because it's tough. It's a lot of work, and but the wins are worth it. And yeah, I don't know. It's been fun and hard, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. What do you think is your favorite, project to work on?
Oh, that's hard. Oh, gosh. Okay, well, my most favourite recent one would have been the Mermaidens' Look Me in the Eye album. That was my album of the year last year. They're just such a creative band, and there was so much to work with because, the whole album basically took down, like, you know, the workplace patriarchy in the corporate world, and I don't know, the spirit of the record was kind of everything that I resonate with internally. And Gussie and Lily and Abe, they're just incredible musicians. I just enjoyed working on that as a fan.
Yeah.
So I think that gets my vote.
Yeah. I think the smile on your face, which the listeners can't see, just kind of shows how much you love that band.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
You're the best.
Yeah, and another part of your role is also, like, when Mermaidens played at Laneway and they have interviews booked and things like that, you escort them to the person interviewing them and things like that, don't you?
Yes. So yeah. anything that any bands that I work with, if they've got on-ground press, I'll accompany them, to radio, TV, or any in-person interviews if they want me there. Some artists are really confident and they're like, you know, I can do it. And the thing is in the alternative scene in Auckland or just around New Zealand, a lot of the bands I work with know everyone at radio anyway.
Yeah.
Or they might work at the radio station. So it's kind of, you know, they're all good to go in there on their own. But, you know, if we're doing something like Mike Hosking's or, you know, just a scary TV story, I'll come along for the ride.
Yeah.
And make sure they're okay.
Yeah, no, that's good. Because it really is fundamentally about relationships.
Yes, yes.
And building relationships. And if you're a publicist, if you've got good relationships with media, you can call on them at any time and go, hey, I really need this, can you help me out?
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't always fit exactly, you can kind of squeeze it to make it fit.
Yes, exactly. Yep. You can kind of make things happen. And actually a lot of the most, it's weird, all the most memorable press moments that I remember of things that came together at the very last minute. And one in particular was getting Tammy Nielsen on the project just before Christmas for the very last show to wrap it for the year.
Oh, cool.
And she sang a Christmas carol. And we put that together in like 2 hours over text. she went there and she had a, you know, she was Tammy and she can put it together so quickly. And it was really special. And yeah, I don't know, you remember all those crazy adventures of having no time to kind of put something together.
Yeah, that's cool. So if people want to get in touch with you and they're interested in publicising their project, how do they do that?
If you want to get in touch with me, you are most welcome to email me or go to my website, saintmachine.com. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. You can message me through those social media apps. Cool. Love to hear from you.
So we've been speaking to Anna Lovies from St. Lachine. It does the marketing and publicity for both her own clients and Flying Nun, or Flying Out.
Yeah.
Is it Flying Nun, the label, or Flying Out?
Both of them.
Both, right, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
While I was kind of researching to talk to Anna, one of the fascinating things I found out about her is that one of her favourite songs is also one of my favourite New Zealand songs. So I wanted to go out on this song. Maybe you can announce it and tell us why you love it.
Yes. We're going to play Sierra Leone by Coconut Ruff, who are an 80s New Zealand band. I cannot explain exactly why I'm obsessed with the song, but I've loved it since I was a toddler, and I used to walk around in circles continuously in my lounge to the song. And there's a weird myth around, I guess, the industry that one of the guys in the band is my dad, but we're not related, I promise. I would love to know which one, which one I look like, but yes, so this is Sierra Leone by Coconut Ruff.
Thanks so much for coming up, Anna. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Another friendly face to make life a little richer. People in Your Neighbourhood on 95BFM. Thanks to APRA AMCOS NZ.